Well, approval of the planning commission minutes.
Welcome to the regular meeting of the Blacksburg Planning Commission, which are held here on the first Tuesday of each month at 6:30 p.m. Roger E. Hedgepath Chambers of the Blacksburg Municipal Building. Citizens may address the planning commission during specified times on the agenda and are required to adhere to the following. Please speak at the podium, state your name and address, direct comments only to the commission. Please limit speaking time to a maximum of 3 minutes and speak only once during a specific hearing or comment period. Please silence cell phones, show respect for all speakers, and allow all opinions to be expressed in a tolerant atmosphere. With that, we'll call the meeting to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Britt?
Here.
Mr. Ehrman?
Here.
Mr. Ford?
Here.
Ms. Jones? Mr. Kassoff?
Here.
Mr. Cassie?
Here.
Ms. Reinhart?
Here.
Ms. Walker? We have a quorum.
Great, thank you. Our first item is our consent agenda. There's a single item on the consent agenda, which is the approval of the Planning Commission minutes from January 7th. The proposed action is to approve. Do we have a motion?
I move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
We'll move on to our public hearings. Our first public hearing tonight is a conditional use permit request to permit lighting at a public park or field at 2100 Toms Creek Road, CUP 24-4, on behalf of the town of Blacksburg. And we have a staff presentation by Carolyn Collins.
Good evening, everybody. excuse me. Tonight we'll be looking at CUP 24-4, lighting at a public park or field. The applicant is Dean Crane on behalf of the property owner, the town of Blacksburg, and the property is located at 2100 Toms Creek Road. The acreage is approximately 9.33 acres and it's zoned rural residential 1. The current height of the light poles are 53 feet, with the proposed height being 60 feet. And additionally, there's proposed 0-foot candles of illuminance on adjoining residential properties as well as roadways. Some existing conditions of the site: the parcel is elevated above Toms Creek Road, however, it does sit lower than the surrounding properties. Some of the amenities include a parking lot, playground, picnic shelter, dog park, restrooms, and a softball field, which is where the proposed lights and the lights are currently located. Current operations, they do have activities year-round, however, there's a stronger emphasis in the fall, spring, and summer seasons. Events do typically conclude by 10 p.m. with lights shutting off at 10:30 p.m. And the field's also available for public as well as private leagues. And you can see here on an aerial image the subject property outlined in blue. We do have a few updates since the work session. The applicant has requested a more detailed photometric plan. Existing foot candle measurements have been confirmed, and the applicant is currently evaluating the potential barriers that were mentioned regarding the screening, and he'll go over more of this in his presentation later. Some key elements the Planning Commission may wish to consider when evaluating this application is the increased height of the light poles may result in greater visibility to surrounding areas, and the potential effects of exempting the screening requirement on adjacent properties and roadways. And a little bit of a request overview. We have the current 6 light poles. They stand at 53 feet tall. We do see a little bit of a significant light spillage due to the outdated technology, as well as dark spots that can cause player safety issues during night games. And the proposed six light poles, which will go in the exact locations where the current ones are proposed to be 60 feet tall, so an increase of 7 feet. They'll have new LED technology, and while the LED technology, it will be brighter, these light poles will have shielding capabilities, which means the applicant will be able to point the light directly where he would want it. And as a result, this would help address the light spillage issue as well as dark spots, thus enhancing the player safety. As you can see here on the left, we have a diagram of the proposed light pole with the shielding that I had mentioned. And on the right, we have an aerial image of the current field with the 6 poles, 3 in the infield, 3 in the outfield. So for district purpose and definitions, the purpose of the Rural Residential 1 district is to provide for residential development at a scale intended to conserve the rural character of the district. And in section 2103, you can find the definition of lighting, public park, and recreation area field, and it's also in your staff report. And lastly, section 4320, this is the section that allows the applicant to apply for a conditional use permit for lighting at a public park or field. And this section also comes with its own general standards that they would need to apply by. Here you can see a current zoning map with the subject area outlined in blue. It's, as I mentioned before, zoned rural residential 1, surrounded by other parcels that are rural residential 1 with a planned residential to the south. And while that has been approved, construction is yet to take place. So criteria for evaluation for a CUP is defined by section 1181 of the zoning ordinance. And the Planning Commission may want to consider the potential adverse impacts of lighting on the adjacent properties as well as roadways. Community character principles, or CCPs, can be found within the comprehensive plan, and they're meant to guide development within the town. And the applicable CCPs for this application are creation of public and private parks and recreation amenities, both for active and passive uses, is an important part of land use development decisions. And this enhanced lighting will improve safety for recreational sports within the town, and these proposed upgrades will make the park more accessible to more users. However, the Planning Commission may want to consider whether this increase in pole height and the requested exemption to the required screening align with the community's and neighborhood standards. And CCP 21, the town is committed to minimizing light pollution by adhering to International Dark Sky Association standards. So the proposed replacement of the existing light poles with LED lighting will improve energy efficiency and will also reduce the light spillage through these directional capabilities. However, the taller light poles will be visible to more surrounding properties. So the Planning Commission may want to consider this when evaluating the potential impacts. The comprehensive plan. So within the future land use map found in the comprehensive plan, it is designated as parkland. And specific uses are governed by the implementing zoning district. However, for this application proposal, the use does remain the same. And lighting at a public park or field is permitted by a CUP in all districts per section 4320. And here you can see an image of the future land use map with the subject area outlined in blue. And it is parkland surrounded by very low density residential. So the use and design standards for section 4320 include 1, no public park and recreation area field lighting shall be located in a required buffer yard. The proposed lighting and current lighting is not located within a buffer yard, so the applicant does meet this standard. 2, large evergreen trees or other screening techniques shall be required in appropriate locations. The applicant is requesting an exemption to the standard along the western side of the parcel, which is the part that fronts Tom's Creek Road. And this is due to the steep topography that you can see where the park meets the road. You kind of have that drop off in the land. And continued, 3, light sources shall not cast excessive light upon adjacent property or upon public right of way. There is no light spillage beyond the property line, so the applicant does meet this standard. And lastly, the zoning administrator may require the applicant to submit a report from a professional lighting engineer, and the applicant has submitted a photometric plan. And here's an image from the photometric plan that the applicant did submit. And as I had mentioned earlier, the applicant did let us know that he's working on getting a more detailed photometric plan for us. So the potential adverse impacts with lighting, these 60-foot poles will increase visibility to more surrounding properties. Now, this doesn't mean that there'll be increased light spillage, just that the poles and the light themselves could be more visible from farther away. And hours of operations, while there's no change in hours of operations due to these improved lighting conditions, more events may be held at the park, which could lead to an increased volume of activity that we see at the park. And with public utilities, transportation, and waste management, there are no proposed changes nor proposed impacts. There was a neighborhood meeting on Thursday, January 9th. 5 people were in attendance, and a main concern did seem to be potential sky glow. However, the applicant, they did address this by stating that due to the directional capabilities of the lights, as well as the size and the scope of the project, he did not foresee this being a huge problem. And lastly, we have staff recommended conditions. 1, all lighting installations shall conform to the photometric plan dated December 26, 2024. And two, the applicant shall install and maintain the lighting fixtures as specified in the application submitted November 27th, 2024. And that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions you all have for staff.
Questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the applicant presentation. Dean Crane, Parks and Rec Director.
Good evening, thank you for your time tonight. My name is Dean Crane, I'm the Parks and Recreation Director, and I wanted to show you our presentation on the lighting situation and answer some of the questions you raised at your work session. So this is Tom's Creek, an aerial view. And biggest thing is, why are we doing this? It's a town council goal to improve town amenities. In the 2024 facility and amenities report, citizens said they wanted more lighted fields, and improving lights was stated in the 2008 master plan for the Parks and Recreation. It also creates more playing time for the working adults. As they get off of work at 5 o'clock or later, it gets dark and play can't happen. In the fall, when we play with the children, at times at 5:30, it's dark. So currently, we're about 1,000 hours of programming per year on that field. We only have two lit fields under the Parks and Recreation control right now, one at Tom's Creek and one at Municipal Field. The current lights are extremely difficult to service for our technicians because of the technology. They're roughly 40 years old. We say better lighting will increase player safety as well. And better technology is better lighting concentration and less spillage on outside the field area. This is our current pole. It is 53 feet and 4 inches. We're asking for a 60 foot. That is the elevation change on the slope. It basically is a 12 foot drop from the top of that ledge down to the road. Our current pole locations, there's six poles, and currently, without designing the process, because we haven't entered a contract, that those are the locations that we would be requesting to replace. When we went out to measure the current foot candles on the field, Mr. Cassie asked what was the foot candles across the road, and that was one compared to 18 on the field. As you move across the road, it would be three, and as you move up towards the field is five. So it's much less than on the field currently. I did go out one evening after the snow melted. You can see the field and the glare of the lights because we don't have shields on those lights. And to talk about the what some people call sky glow, some people call skip glow. The skip, basically, you can see with on the grass, there is no reflection. Basically, the technology and the people from Musco Lighting told me they're concerned with skip lighting when they're talked on wet roads, on ponds or water, on ice, but not grass. So at this point, we say there won't be any skip lighting. This is the photometrics that we got from the company. We are still working on getting a new one at your request to find what the light candles are on the road with the new lights. We just currently haven't received that yet. But you can see that all the areas of the field are significantly brighter than currently lit, and it lights the entire field instead of having dark field, dark spots. The light spillage basically is that circle across Tom's Creek. You would have none, and the rest of it stays within our park. We do have a contract, or would have a contract with maintenance, and our maintenance would be a 25-year. We basically have the lights with the sky lid so that all the light is projected down towards the field and towards the players. And we can have them come back and adjust that if there was any issue that formed from lights spilling outside the property. Sorry, that's our savings. We would, over the 25 years, have a savings of about $30,000. You can see from these pictures, the bottom picture being before the new lights were installed at a different location, you can see the glare, and at the top picture, you can see where the glare is all pushed down towards the field and stays on the field. And then we have one other picture where you can see on the bottom the dark spots and the player safety concerns, and the top spots would be higher elevation. I did also call Miss Utility and ask for a locate upon that border of the Tom's Creek Road to see if there was any conditions of utilities in that area so that we could or could not put trees in. At this point, we have found no utilities in that area. So just wanted to let you know we looked at that possibility as well. Also, one other last thing is Musco Lighting does design all their fields with a community-friendly sports lighting program that was developed by the Dark Skies International. So we're trying to make sure that the light stays on the field and doesn't progress in other places. That's the last of my presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Any questions for the applicant?
Just one question. So if there are no utilities there where the barrier might be, where the screening might be, would you be open to?
Yeah, we were open. We didn't have that answer question.
Okay.
That question
so there,
answer by
so
the time
would
we
be,
went to.
So you wouldn't be asking for an exemption to the barrier?
We could waive that.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. At this point, we'll move on to public comment. Would anyone like to address the commission on this particular public hearing? Hearing none, we'll skip the applicant rebuttal. We'll move on to a motion discussion. Do we have a motion for CUP 24-4?
I move approval of CUP 24-4.
Second.
Great, we have a motion for approval and a second. Any discussion? All right.
I think it's a terrific presentation. It saves money, the lighting's better. I don't see the downside. I don't know if you want to add the two conditions the staff recommended to the motion, being conformity with the lighting plan of the town
with staff recommended conditions to.
What's the exception as well, right? The exception for planting.
They waived the exception.
They waived.
Yeah.
That's a done deal.
Needed. Right. Yeah, I think it's. I also like the fact that there's potential improved safety for the players.
Mm-hmm.
That's important. Thank you for that. All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? None? Great. All right, we'll move on to our second public hearing tonight. Which is an ordinance to amend the town code section 5701 of the subdivision ordinance pertaining to the construction and design of sanitary sewer ordinance 2070. We have a staff presentation by Andrew Warren.
Good evening. So as we discussed at the work session, this really is a recommendation that came out of the stakeholder group, which was the zoning and subdivision stakeholder group that was formed by town council in 2023, really looking at how they can look at the ordinances, identify sections that could be barriers to development while still maintaining the goals of the town. So there has a series of improvements or changes that have come out of that. An ordinance is being written for that. This is really the first of those changes. So Planning Commission will be looking at the remainder of those stakeholder changes later this spring. But this is separate because it was identified that it did have some subdivision ordinance changes that went along with this when they went to change the sanitary sewer specs. What is being put forward is allowing for a sewer ejector pumps in basements that would allow for the flexibility of the subdivision layout in mostly single family lot subdivisions. And basically, with our hilly terrain, we do prefer gravity, but in certain instances, sewer ejector pumps are needed. And this would allow for that to be approved by right. instead of today where it is provided for by a special exception. Excuse me, it's like a, it's a special permission through the engineering department that, that allows for it. So the principal changes will be to the town sanitary sewer specs, but again, as I mentioned, there will need to be some changes to the subdivision ordinance, and I'll go over those in just a minute. The difference in why these are before you is the sanitary sewer specs are adopted directly by town council, where any changes to the zoning ordinance or subdivision ordinance is adopted by ordinance and does take a public hearing here at Planning Commission and then also at town council. So the three changes are one, basically that the language will change in the code that says that that you are required to do gravity sewer unless it is called out in the sanitary sewer specs that are approved by town council. So that needs to be added to the subdivision ordinance. The second is to clarify that if you are going to do a septic tank effluent gravity system or a septic tank effluent pumping system in our Toms Creek Basin unsewered area, that that it really is intended to be for a development application for a subdivision and not for individual lots. And then finally, the third change is really to basically eliminate references to older definitions of major and minor subdivision that had changed a number of years ago to clean up that section of the subdivision ordinance. So as far as the schedule, this was referred to you all back in December. We had our Planning Commission work session a couple weeks ago. We're having our public hearing this evening, and then it is scheduled to go to town council next week on their consent agenda, and then be heard by council at their public hearing in March. With that, that concludes my remarks. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Andrew, would a single family detached without a subdivision be eligible to use a septic system with that, or are we changing it so you have to be a neighborhood to use a septic system?
So the step set STEG system, that would only be in the Toms Creek unsewered area, and it would have to be part of a larger subdivision.
So if you have, so one house can't do it, but a whole neighborhood can? Is that?
For the step STEG system, correct.
Okay, but are there other sanitary sewer or are there other systems that are eligible, that there are other systems that they could use?
Yes, if they cannot access gravity, then they would work through the health department for a septic system.
Oh, but they could use a gravity system.
If it is available.
So is the reason, well, this didn't come before Zoning Ordinance Review Committee. Is it because this is a change to the spec versus the zoning subdivision ordinance?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And it was discussed through the stakeholder group.
Andrew, does existing homes that do not have gravity sewer from basements but have gravity sewer, say, from the first or second floor above grade, if someone wanted to finish their basement, add a rec room and a bathroom, are they eligible then to add a pump in that situation?
That's a good question. I do not know the answer to that offhand. It would be a matter of if it was written to the sanitary sewer specs, and I'd have to defer to the engineering department for that answer.
That engineering or health department?
So,
or what, Blaine's?
That would be the engineering department, because that would be pumping to our public sewer system.
Oh, were you asking about public sewer or?
I'm asking like public sewer.
Oh, okay.
Where basement is not provided with gravity sewer, but could be pumped to the first floor.
Yeah.
Now.
I will ask our engineering department and get an answer.
This might be some question that might want to be clarified before it goes to council, if it goes that far.
The original reason it was put in was because if the pump fails, you'd have a situation?
That was the concern.
Protect future homeowners because if there's a power outage or something?
Correct. Yeah, that was the concern.
That's less of a concern now to the engineers, or the balance seems to be worth it, that someone's decided that the trade-off is worth it to be able to...
To have a better layout and a better designed subdivision. Correct. That efficiently uses the land.
This came out, as you said in the beginning, from the work group, which is the, you know, the folks that do this for a living. So this is one of the ones that they, pretty much everyone's behind. This was, you know, there was good staff support as well as them. You know, we're not overflowing with people here yelling to support it or yelling against it. So we can assume that the folks that are in the know have kind of blessed this and they're happy with where we're going with this. Is that fair?
So, yeah, I do think that it really fits into that to that category that was described of the mission of the stakeholder group was to really identify those areas that could lower barriers to development at the same time still balance the public need and goals.
Appreciate you asking that question. That was formulating in my head. Sort of, you know, when it's things that one is not an expert in, you mm-hmm. sort of just want to...
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the primary motivation at the stakeholders group was currently, if you want a sewer basement, it's got to be gravity. And what that was resulting in, and a lot of developments, was a very, very deep sewer lateral, depending on topography, and sometimes 20, 25 feet deep, and very expensive to build, expensive to maintain, dangerous to construct, that sort of thing. So there was an interest in having these approved by right rather than having to go through. The vast majority of the applications for these basement pumps has been approved by the engineering department, but it's just been that extra step. So, and the technology's gotten a lot better over time. And the town's position had been for a long time that they didn't want them going in because they, if they malfunctioned, the town got the call, you know, when they're owned by the homeowner. And so they felt like they had to have some review of it. But the technology's gotten better. The application has gotten better over time. And in most municipalities, this is a by right to place these pumps in the sewer and in the basement. So it's really just trying to streamline that piece of the development puzzle. Thank you. We'll move on to public comment. Would anyone like to address the commission on this particular public hearing? Seeing none, we'll move on to a motion discussion. Do we have a motion?
I move approval of ordinance 2070.
Second.
Great. We have a motion on the table and a second. A motion to approve. Any discussion? All right, hearing none. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
All opposed? Great. With that, we'll move on to citizen comment. At this time, the citizenry, anybody can from the public can address the commission on any issue. Hearing none, we'll move on to unfinished business. Zoning Ordinance and Review Committee has not met. Historic or Design Review Board?
There's a... I want to put this properly. There's a property that had maybe a year ago had done some work without asking for permission, including removing a chimney, replacing a front door, a couple of other things. And that particular property, I think, is about to come back up through. It just got us kind of talking about demolition by neglect in the downtown area. So that's something that, just something that maybe we want to just kind of ruminate on or marinate on, kind of what should the town's response be? I know it's not, you know, we're not elected officials, so that's not our decision, but just kind of how that fits in with land planning, land use in general.
Interesting. Montgomery County Planning Commission.
Looks like I'm on tap for this next meeting this month, so I'll try to find out when the meeting is and either attend or watch it online, one of the two.
Great, thank you. Any additional items from planning commissioners? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to new business. Chair's report, I have none. Planning director's report.
I wanted to thank everybody for providing your surveys for the retreat, and we'll be pulling together all that information and having we'll go ahead and put it as a work session item on the 17th if we end up having a work session, and then if not, then we will I will circulate that out by email.
Are there any of the ones that kind of came out in the lower tier that there would be any value in discussing those in the context of a work session?
You can look at those and then, appropriately. And yeah, let me go ahead and I'll go through those in the morning.
Okay.
Get back with you and see if there, it would be of worthy of our worth our time to go ahead and yeah to not even so you're not necessarily wait for a retreat. Go ahead and discuss.
Or maybe address some items that we might not get to during the retreat that have some interest or merit.
Very good. Let me look at the results and I'll get back with you.
Yeah, just ones that would be appropriate to do it in that context, you know.
That would be a good use because I think it will be a fairly light work session if there's really nothing scheduled
really,
at this time.
Yeah, if we even really need to have one, perhaps this will be the only context.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Town Council report.
So Town Council work session today. You'll be surprised to know that we talked about the sanitary sewer we just approved. It's my second presentation of the day. Also, we had an update on the zoning ordinance rewrite, update, revision. If you recall back in the fall, I guess, we were all queried at one time, hey, what do we see as important? Of course, staff has a running list about that. And then town council, of course, had their input as well. So we were told that staff is they've culled through it, pulled it through, and they're getting ready to put out an RFP for a consultant to, you know, start developing a plan so we can move forward with that. Obviously, that will land with us at some point. So that's going forward. And then another issue of interest that I don't believe I've mentioned before, towns have the ability to lower their speed limits. And, you know, there's a lot of data out there that lower car speed limits, more survivability for vulnerable road users, which is basically everyone that's not in a car. So staff worked at the direction of council, worked on kind of a plan of how could we do a little bit of a pilot project? And the goal was to try to have it be an area that kind of got all the forms of roads, arterial, collector, and whatnot. So we're getting ready to move forward with that. Of course, a huge component of that will be a huge public outreach campaign to explain to folks what we're going to do. And of course, once we approve it, it'll be piecemeal because, you know, they've got to change the signs, so it's not all wake up one day and everything's done. So that's kind of exciting. And it's kind of down in the 16 blocks area that we're going to be working on, trying to drop these speed limits by about 5 miles an hour off of whatever our current ones are. So.
Interesting.
And I think that's it.
Thank you.
The town also... I assume they can reduce the number of lanes in some of the less trafficked corridors that are starting to get populated with pedestrians.
well, you know, talking about our retreat, one of the topics was the idea of traffic calming, both on Patrick Henry and North Main Street, which is that with, you know, sidewalks aren't the best and there's a lot of lanes. So yes, there's those potentials for some conversations about that.
All right. And with that, we stand adjourned. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.